The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So I will start. I'll just share with us in 1 hour, okay? In 1 hour. And for many reasons, we're going to leave. We're going to try to close early. One, because of the way the town is looking today, so that you can be able to find your way home early. Amen? And two, because someone like me and a good number of us, we've been here since this afternoon for the training that we've been on. So I will try to see if we can finish in 1 hour. But you see, the things I'm going to be sharing with you today across all our centers are going to bring about some very strong, solid instructions that will help you. Are you listening to me? Some very solid instructions. I'll be talking about effectiveness in the church. I don't know what to call it. How you can be more effective in the church. And I've preached along this line a couple of times, but there are a few things the Lord said I should point out today. And I want you to listen to me carefully. Because we are setting a lot of things straight this period. You see, the church exists for the spiritual growth of people. I'll say it again. The church exists for the spiritual growth of people. As a matter of fact, the major reason why the church exists is so that people can grow spiritually. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, he talked about the fact that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 12, he said, for the perfection of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry and all that. If you go all the way to verse 16, you will see what the church is supposed to ultimately achieve, even as we gather what the prophet, pastor, evangelist is meant to achieve for us in the church. He said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of the heart, in the measure of every part rather, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Put up another translation, something like NLT. Like New Living Translation. This we just read from King James. He says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. That's talking about the church. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So God's plan for your spiritual growth is in the church. Let me say it again. God's plan for your spiritual growth is in the church. I'll tell you something. Every growth that you have outside the church, to a very large extent, is pseudo-growth. And I'll tell you why. People say, can't I just grow without the church? Must I be in church to show that I'm growing very well? I'll give you the answer to that. You should be in church. Listen, friends. When you are not in the church, you are not growing in the church, because I'll still come to spiritual growth later. I'll still come to spiritual growth soon. Because we have misunderstood what spiritual growth is. For many of us, spiritual growth is just having too much knowledge. So once the guy can quote Bible, the guy is growing spiritually. But that in itself is not what spiritual growth is. That can be a pointer to spiritual growth, but that's not the only thing about growth. For some other persons, it's the ability to pray very well. So once I can pray for long, it means I'm doing well spiritually. As important as that is not also the only definition of spiritual growth. So some people that, you know, I know the word of God, I can study the Bible, I can read books, 200 Christian books and all that. If there is no church around you, you can start with that. But the real thing called spiritual growth goes beyond studying the Bible and praying. That is part of it. You have the fullness of it in the local church. Are you listening to me? The fullness of it. I'll give you an example. Spiritual growth will entail someone that knows the word. You don't have to know God's word. You have to be able to pray. You have to be able to reach out. You have to be able to have good conduct, walking in love,
All these things must be there. And all these things have it's delivered in as a whole in the local church. Let me explain it to you. I say this all the time. It's like making soup. You know, I keep saying that. You cannot say that the only thing you need to make soup is a pussy. That will not make the soup. You need water. I'm right here. Yeah? Uh-huh. You need water. You need oil. You need pepper. All of them. You can't also say, the only thing I need is oil. Once you give me oil, the food is set. You know what you're going to make. Now, you can't also say, I just need oil and egusi. It will still not be food. It only becomes real food when everything is put in the right proportion. The local church is where everything for spiritual growth is supplied in the right proportion. Are you getting the point? That's where everything for spiritual growth is supplied in its right proportions. And so, that's that about spiritual growth. So, the church will help you grow spiritually. One of the things that helps for spiritual growth that's found in church is fellowship. The fact that you are fellowshipping with other people is helping and aiding your spiritual growth greatly, strongly. There is fellowship in the church. There is fellowship in the church. Not just between you and God, okay, but between you and other believers. And this is very, very important. You say, how does that help me grow spiritually? A great deal. That's where you even begin to learn how to manage relationships. Because sometimes when people say, they got me angry in the church, I'm no more coming. You just lost an opportunity to grow spiritually. Amen? When they get angry in church and you are able to keep coming, to continue coming and conquer that grievance and move past that and stay strong, you've just secured yourself an opportunity to learn better and grow spiritually. The local church provides all of that. That is what we call spiritual protection. And that protection is not talking about from principalities and powers and all that. That is doctrinal protection, is spiritual protection. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Quickly, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? Read with me. Why? For they watch for your souls. So there are people that watch over your souls. Bible says that people that have the rule over you, you find them in the church. They are there to watch over your souls. The Bible even went further to say that they will give account. They will give account. They will give account. Acts 20 verse 28. You find Paul talking to the leaders and elders of the church after he had finished the work he did in Ephesus. So he was encouraging them. He said, take heed. Verse 28. Take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So he says there are people, the priests, the pastors, the leaders of the church have been made overseers. They've been made overseers over the flock. So when people say things like, in church, they want to control me. The church should control you. Now, listen carefully to this, friends. You know, because there are some things that people don't like hearing. Now, the control is not like telling you, don't go here. No. But you see, any freedom without control is bondage in disguise. Do you hear what I said? Every freedom without control is bondage in disguise. The church should have it, you know. You should have, and I said something during the training this afternoon, that God leads us through steps and stops. He leads us through steps and stops. The local church, the pastoral leadership in the church, provides both steps and stops. Many people love steps. They don't love stops. What it means is that the church should be able to tell you, go ahead, do it. And there should be times they will tell you, don't do it. It's part of the leadership. Are you getting me, friends? He said, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Put up another translation. King James said, overseers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. NLT calls it, he said, feed and shepherd God's flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has appointed you as elders. And I like the word shepherd. Because if you understand what it means to shepherd the flock, it actually almost means to control the flock. Amen? The only thing is that as pastors, you shouldn't lord it over people. Because people you are leading have the Holy Ghost in them too. I don't even get the point. So you lead them by their own and help them learn to grow by themselves. But you should want to submit yourself to the leadership of the church, the leadership that goes on in church, and stop complaining about it. And grow. Because that's where real growth comes from. Because by the time you become stubborn, every leadership that goes on in the church, let me tell you what Satan is doing. Satan is setting you up for destruction. Tomorrow, there will be a very stupid step that you want to take in life. And it only takes the voice of somebody to stop you. But you've shut off every of such voices in your life. There will be nobody to stop you. I get to the point. And that leadership has been left for you in the church. And so, in the church of Jesus Christ, we find that kind of protection. That kind of protection, overseeing. That kind of overseeing. Now, I've explained to us, when people say, how do I know the right church to join? You're already in the right church if you're here. You say, why did you say that? Is it because it's your church? No. But because the first thing the Bible says about getting a good church, in 1 Timothy 3 verse 15, it says that that church must be the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy rather 3 verse 15. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground. So one of the first things you look out for in the church is that it must be a church that upholds the truth. First thing. So I normally ask questions like, what do they teach? In case you're hearing this for the first time, you don't choose a church because of proximity, because it's close to your house. You choose a church, first of all, because of what they teach. It must be the pillar and the ground of the truth. You don't choose a church also, I've talked about proximity, because of the music or anything, what they teach. They must be teaching the gospel. The church is where the gospel is taught. Let me say this to you. The church of God is where the word of God is given full preeminence. It's not where the word of God is mentioned. You know what I said? It's not a place you mention God's word. It's not a place you teach motivation and say, the Bible even said. It's a place the word of God is giving full preeminence, full control, full attention. It's not a place we quote Bible. It's a place we teach Bible. Are you following me, guys? And so that is it. So it's not a playground for comedy. It must uphold the truth. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostle said, we will give ourselves first to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that was going in the church. So you ask questions like, what do they teach? Second question you ask in choosing a church is, how committed are they to the Great Commission? How committed are they to the Great Commission? Is the Great Commission still the Great Commission in that church? Or has it become the Great Omission? Have they omitted it? Amen. And these are things you check out for. When Jesus left, he gave us an assignment. You know, I said something, that was last Sunday or last Sunday in this place. That, I think last two Sundays now. I said a church strength is not in their sitting capacity. Do you remember that? It's in what? Their sending capacity. A church is not strong because it has 1,000 members. A church is strong because it can send 1,000 people. So if you have a church that does not place so much emphasis on the Great Commission, what will happen is that church cannot produce ministry out of you. But there's no emphasis on evangelism. There's no emphasis on reaching out. Third thing you check out for in the church when you want to join is, what are their priorities? What is being emphasized in that church? Because while there are some things I know they teach the word, but their priorities are wrong. Do they prioritize prayer? Do they prioritize outreach like I'm talking about it? Do they, what the things they value? Or do they prioritize noise, comedy, whatever, above? So what are the priorities in the church? The apostle said, we will give ourselves first. And I like the word first in that verse. Acts verse 4. First. That first there speaks of priority. We'll give ourselves first to the ministry of the word and prayer. First. Glory to God. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, Paul will say, I wish that first of all, prayers and supplication be made for all men. First of all. Talks about priority too. So some things should be first. So you check out for that. Another thing you check, and which is what I'm going to start talking about, what I want to share with you today from, is there an opportunity for me to serve and express my abilities in Christ? That's next thing you check. Is there an opportunity for me to serve and express my opportunities, my ability in Christ? Because the church isn't just a place where you're supposed to learn. It's a place where you're supposed to learn and you're supposed to serve. So the way I put it is, it's a church, a place where you come to gain and a place where you come to give to what you have. So that place we read, Ephesians 4 verse 16, there's a phrase I don't want you to miss there. It says, every joint supplying. Ephesians 4 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Look back NLT. Every joint. So, this is a full body. You are a joint. Every part is supplying. NLT said, as each part does its own special work. It's a region supplying. And so, friends, you must ask, is there an opportunity for me to serve here? Is there an opportunity for me to serve here? And I can tell you freely, the best way to serve the Lord is in His church. The best way to serve the Lord is in His church. You cannot serve a man outside his home. That's why you find out that even the people that did field ministry in the Bible, people that went on evangelism, Paul and Silas and all that, they were sent out from the church. And they always came back to the church. Because you can't serve God or serve a man outside his house. Outside his house. And so you must decide to serve in your church. Now, I'm talking about effectiveness this evening. And I'll tell you, quickly, because I said I will not take time, 6 or 5 habits that you must avoid. Or, I can go from the positive, 6 habits you must cultivate. Anyone want to put it? Okay? And there are things I see in people, and I know that this one is not going to be very effective in his work with God, in the church. One of them is lack of passion. Anybody that is not passionate cannot be very effective in the work of God. You see, the work of God that goes on in the church is worth dying for. It's something that should consume you. Something you should be passionate about. Something you should carry on your head. When I see people that are not passionate about the work that goes on in the local church, I just see people that will not be effective. It should consume you. So when you see, the first thing is passion. The work we do is something to die for. It's something to die for. And this passion should consume you, whether you're a leader, a member, or a minister, or anything. What is that will make you give half of your salary to the church? It's that same passion, because you want it to do well. What is that will make you be in church every day? You know, when I see people drag, when they see the drag people, you didn't come for midweek service, you didn't come for Saturday rehearsal, it's because there is no, the passion for the work of the Lord must overtake you. You see the way Jesus put it? He says, the zeal for what? Huh? The zeal for thy house has consumed me. There's such a thing as the zeal for the house of God. Are you following me, guys? The zeal for the house of God. passion for the house of God. Passion to see the church do well. Passion to see the church grow. That zeal must consume you. That's where you start being effective. You start being effective. Hallelujah. You know, most of us want a lot of excuses. I couldn't come because of this. You know, I was sharing a story with them at the LMP we are on now, the training we are doing now. Sometimes I go to places with some of my people, maybe we've done like all nights, like 2-3 nights. And then the next morning is a Sunday service. I'll be rushing to go to church. A part of me will want to tell them, want to tell people, don't worry, don't come. Just stay back. Don't bother coming. Then one of those days, I was thinking about it, and the Lord asked me a question. He said, you don't want them to come? I said, yes, Lord, because they've tried. And the Lord asked me, why are you going? Hallelujah. He said, why are you going? And I kept quiet. He said, the same thing that is making you go, even though you are tired, should also consume them and make them go, even though they are tired. Are you getting me, friends? That's passion. That's the zeal for the house of God. That's the zeal for the house of God. You must allow it to consume you. You know something that happens in church? You know what? I thought about spiritual growth in church. You know, one of the things that working for the Lord in his church does for you is that it cures you of ambition and pride and self-glory. Do you know why some people don't want to put all their best in the church? But if they start their own ministry, they want to put all their best there. They never cared about the work of God. They care about being seen. Because in that, their own thing they're doing, everybody will know that this is them. But in church, you can finish carrying speaker and they will not give you a mic to talk in church. So you're now beginning to ask yourself a question. That question I asked some of you in the training. Are you here? Are you doing this? Now we're talking about nations, remember? Say, Lord, we want to reach the nations. I said, you want to reach the nations? Want to take the nations? What if in taking the nations, all the Lord will have you do is to carry speaker to the nations? Are you getting me? What if all he will have you do is to just study by ground and pray? You're now doing faith somehow. So do you really want to take the nations, or do you want to send yourself to the nations? But is it the work in the church? You can do it and there's a big meeting and everybody's getting blessed. But then, nobody even knows you did it. And let me drop this. That kind of work should excite you. You see, that has cured your heart of self-glory, of pride. It should excite you that it is going and nobody's even calling your name. You see the way Jesus put it? He said, when you are giving, he said, your right hand should know what your left hand is doing. He said, when that happens, he said, you've received your reward. The reward is the clapping people gave you. You should, that's one thing. Consider the work of God. Your concern should be, let the work move. Let the church be fine. Whether I'm seen or I'm not seen, it's fine. Once the work is going, that's the important thing. Are you getting me? You know, I keep saying this to you guys. I never, you know, even before I knew I was going to be a pastor, one thing about me, I cannot be in a place and not be effective. It's my decision. Ask questions about me anywhere. Unless I'm not part of that group. Once I'm there, from the time in church, you know, some of you that, people that know me from 2006 we picked up this thing. When they joined the fellowship, joined the church, became this prayer secretary, that every day. Nobody was paying us for those things. The important thing is that something is working. Something is working. Before I started doing meetings, we've gone, it's a normal thing, go in the midnight, paste posters, host meetings. I've been part of, and that's why when the call to ministry eventually came, it was not difficult for me. Not because it was easy, but I had actually served in virtually every department in the church in one way or the other. Are you getting the point? I've ushered before.
I've sang before in the church. She broche my ear, my brother. He knows who. You don't believe. I sang because it was necessary that I sing. Play the instrument. Everything. You see, because the passion and the zeal for the house of God should be able to take over you. So when I see people that don't have passion, I know this one is not going to do much. There should be passion for the house. And passion for the house of God is not youthful exuberance. It's something that should live with you forever. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. A king said, I was glad. I will dance when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. And this is where people lack passion. That's why they begin to rise in their career and they begin to shift away from church. They were never passionate for the work. They were never passionate for the church. The church was a means to an end. It was a way for God to meet their need and lift them and become big. They will not leave the church. You should sincerely love the church and love the Lord of the church. Amen? Must love the Lord of the church. And so lack of passion becomes a very big deal. In Philippians 1 verse 21. Philippians 1 verse 21. Glory to God. He said, for me, to me to live is Christ. He said, and to die is gain. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I was not. What I shall choose, I was not. I'll leave this. But he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Let me say this to you. I feel I should say this. I was going to say it last, but I won't say it now. It is a great thing to serve God in his church. A great thing. In fact, it is a great privilege. It is a great privilege. And every time you are carrying speaker in church, anytime you are sweeping the church, anytime you are printing handbill for the church, count it a great privilege that the Lord counted you worthy to do this. You say, how is that? Do you know that they beat the apostles and persecuted them, and they were thanking God for the privilege to be beaten? Because whatsoever we do and take for the Lord, it's a privilege. We don't deserve it. Amen? Now, it doesn't make sense to you, but if I bring it to him now, like I always do, it will make sense to you. I said it's a privilege to serve God in his church. It doesn't make sense. If I now say it's a privilege to wash the president's clothes, does it make sense? Huh? It should make sense. So, it's a privilege to open the president's gates. It's a privilege to drive the president. No, I don't know whether you like the president or not. I'm not saying this. The president. Let me say this way. It's a privilege to be the gateman to the president of the United States of America. Why are you people like this? Now, point is, it is a privilege to serve a great man. That's what I'm trying to say. The things that you will call work at home, if you do it to a great man, you're excited. Is that not true? It's true. Some of you that they say cook at home, you're looking somehow. There is some, if some even pastor say, come and cook for me, say, glory to God. You feel it's a privilege. That is how service in church is. Everything you do in the church, it is a great privilege. A rare privilege to do them. And you must see it like that. If you don't begin to see it like that, Satan will begin to mess with your heart. Are you getting me? You begin to mess with your heart, and you begin to feel you are something because you're serving God. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. And serving Jesus, serving Jesus is not a means to an end. It's not a way to greatness. Serving Jesus is greatness. Did you hear me? Cleaning the church is not a way to become great. Cleaning the church is greatness. You are great because you are cleaning the church. And you must see it like that. You are great because you are doing evangelism. It's not now we are preaching on the street of evangelism. So that one day, we'll not be preaching from private jets. No. No. The greatness is preaching Jesus. On foot, on air, in water, that's the greatness. Hallelujah. So first of all, you see, lack of zeal is a major reason why people can't be effective. Lack of passion. And secondly, I say lack of commitment. 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 You know, people hate commitment. Generally speaking, people don't like staying with one thing for a very long time. People like jumping. And that's why guys don't want to get married. Because they just want to say, if you're not married, one girl just tie you down. Amen. But you must love commitment. You must love to embrace one thing and stay with that one thing forever. And that's the thing about church too. Some persons don't want to be settled in church. Do you know even in church, some people have a problem with commitment. They don't want to be settled in one department. They are gallivanting from one department to another. You can't be effective like that. It takes being committed to a particular thing for you to be effective with that thing. Stay one place. Be committed. Be committed. Be committed. Be available. You know what I say to people all the time? One of the ways to help your church is that you're available every day. Every day. Now, I'm not saying we come to church every day. No. But you must be available every day. What I mean is you must be available in a way that anytime and every time you are needed, you are there. So that we can call you up and say, where are you? Sam Arangariki. Say, very well. There is this sister around there who just got to the hospital. We want somebody that will go and see her and see how she's doing. You must be available for such things. I didn't get the point. So you hear things like, okay, sir, I'm at work, but immediately at the close of work, I'll pay my way to that place. You must be available like that. I get what I'm saying? That's commitment. Must be available every day. You know, one of the greatest people a pastor likes is that person that knows that he knows that he can be available all the time. Hallelujah. Now sometimes people that when you call them, hello, where are you? The response is, where do you want me to be? And that's availability. I didn't get the point. Hello, where are you? And I say, where do you want me to be? Any place you want me to be, I'm there. Hallelujah. You know, earlier this last 3 days ago now, we had a meeting. Normally have that meeting. But then, we didn't know the meeting was holding that day. So in the afternoon, he chatted me up, say, how is your evening today? So I just said that I had a meeting that evening. I said I have a meeting this evening, but whatever it is, tell me, I will adjust to meet it. It must be that available. I didn't even know it was now a meeting that was for my own good. Amen? But that is availability. That's commitment. We must know you to be someone that is committed, that is available. And related to this commitment, I'm talking about consistency too. You must be able to be known with one thing for a very long time. That makes you, in fact, let me tell you, if church show everything, if you can't be consistent with a particular thing for a very long time, you cannot produce fruit with that thing. Hit and run doesn't produce fruits. Okay? People don't know that anything you call a great work takes time. So you need to stay to bear fruit in a place. You have to stay there for a very long time. For a very long time. For a very long time. And not jumping from one place to another. So you find a church and you stay committed to the place for a very, very long time. Growing there, learning there, glory to God. Growing in the church, learning in the church, serving in the church, committed, committed.
consistent. Now, I'm talking about planting. I normally use the example for you guys whenever I talk about being planted. You know, the Bible said something about the tree planted by the riverside. Amen? Now, I normally give you an example. Imagine that tree is not planted by the riverside. The tree is gallivanting around the riverside. So today the tree comes around. Tomorrow the tree leaves to see his friend in the other place. You know, there are people that don't have church. Oh, no, they have a church. But are not always. When they come to church, when you see them, the question is, you came today. Such people can never be effective. Now I'll give you an example. Imagine some of you, that's how you treat your studies. You wonder why you're not passing. Your mates are surprised to see you in class. Say, hey, you came today. He say, yeah. I say, let me come. He say, welcome. And if that is you, repent too. Oh. I say, repent. I'm just amazed that you came to class today. You're a VIP in your class. Come in, they say, welcome. He say, yes. How have you guys been doing in this place? And that's what some of you treat church. And then I ask you, why not in school? He say, you know, I visited Esut yesterday and after that, I visited Futo. When I was done with Futo, I visited Unizik. So I've been going, it's not like I've been missing school. So think about that. That's what people say about church. I know you're missing church, just I didn't come to your own church. I was in Redeemed, from Redeemed, I was in Christ Embassy. I was in that. So don't make it look like I've not been going to church. And you think you will become effective like that and grow. You see how your life is. You're just jumping from place to place. You can't bear fruit like that. You can't. That's why some people, they can't be committed to anything. So the year is starting. Say, this is our year of the supernatural. The other people say, is your year of moving forward? The other people say, is their year of conquering devils? So you say, this is your year of supernatural moving forward, conquering devils. Because you are just everywhere at the same time. You are wondering why your life is like this. Let me tell you something. Hear this from me, never forget it. Everything you need for your spiritual well-being, God has put in your church. The church of God is wisdom of God. Everything you need for spiritual well-being, God has put in your church. And so if you have something against the church, you have something against the wisdom of God. Because the church of God is the wisdom of God. It's his wisdom. And I want to say this, I've said this over time in this church. When people say things like, church is scam, church is this, you don't know what you are toying with. You are toying with the only reason Jesus went to the cross. So Jesus went to the cross for scam. He went to the cross for trash. Think about it. Hallelujah. And if you say, I believe in Jesus, but church is a scam. Amen. Glory to God. It doesn't even make sense. If I let's even remove dying on the cross, it's just like you tell somebody say, I like you, sir, but your family is nonsense. I don't like your family, but I love you so much. But I hate your family. Kukuma don't like me. Don't like me. You don't like me, that's what it means. And so you stay committed and stay consistent with everything. With everything. Hallelujah. You know, that is something that my dad was doing when we were younger. And you know, growing up, whenever we are writing letters, the address we use in the letter is the address of our church in the village. So when I asked him, I said, why won't you just use your own house? You know, he said, we can relocate from anywhere. He said, but that church, he will always be there. Have you get a point? And thing, I was like, wow. I said, so you are so sure? I said, I will always be there. We can change and locate. And people should be able to come and see you 30 years after. And they know, we don't know where she lives. But if we locate a platform of Grace Church, we will see her there. Or we'll see somebody that knows her. Because you are a committed person. You know, I normally say this to my daughters. I said, if you want to marry a guy, and the guy, there is no trace of commitment and consistency in his life, run. What he has been doing in every other place, he will transport to the relationship. Are you getting me?
You either learn it by my instruction or by your experience. Or you will learn it.
Someone is not committed to anything in his life. You cannot think of any business he has done for the past 10 years. He has not been in a church for the past 10 years. He has not been under any leadership for the past 10 years. He has just been jumping up and down. That's how they will jump around you too. Because he has built a culture of not knowing how to stay with one thing for long. And I was telling you guys a story during Secrets Connect. They say some old men were asked, why is it that in your generation you have marriages that last? He said, but in our own time, with all the love and everything we have, the marriages don't last. He said, simple. He said, because we come from a generation where if things spoil, you fix them. But your generation, when things spoil, you change them. And that's a very big problem. And that's how people treat church. So if church vexes you, you are gone. Okay, think about your parents. You know your parents' churches, right? You know the kind of things that happen there. You know the kind of fights they used to fight there. You shall know what I'm talking about. Sometimes your mom will come back complaining. After complaining, you'll not be thinking that she will now change. Next Sunday, she will still be dressing up. Mommy, give me Naga church now. And God kill you. And I say, which church? He say, do you have two churches? And there's a lot to learn from that. He said, but churches don't have light. Beautiful. You now have a church that has light. See? But then, anything is enough to make you say, I'm just angry. Stay committed. Stay consistent. It will help you. And even when it talks about, when we talk about growing in ministry and becoming solid, you know ministry is growing in the local church. If God is going to use you mightily in this church, there is no sensible church that will allow God to use you mightily in their church if you've not stayed in that church for a very long time. Do you know this? I said it's true. No ministry will allow God to use you mightily in the ministry if you've not been in that ministry for a very long time. Because that's what consistency is about. Any ministry that does that, I've seen ministry that do it too. Somebody can come into the church and just come and say, sir, I have a singing calling. Say, go and lead the choir. He's not here. Even if you're a bishop where you're coming from, we celebrate the bishopric anointing upon you. But you have to stay. Because you're a bishop in your house. Any bishop here? While I respect your office and your calling, you're not a bishop here. Glory to God. So stay consistent. Two more things. One other thing I'd like you to deal with is fault finding. This is one attitude of people who are never effective. Fault finding. They come into a place and they find fault in everything and everyone. I've been talking to the people in the leadership class that we've been running, that on the last day of the chain, I'll talk about murmuring. But I think I'll even say some things about it today. People that have a culture of always finding fault with everything, they can never be effective. I've been saying this over time. A wise man, a mature guy, comes to church and notices that the window is not fine. He's already thinking of what he will do to fix it. The other immature guy comes to church, sees the window bad, and says, what kind of church is this? There is no order. See window. I know something I tell people. Your point of view depends on your viewing point. Have you heard that before? Your point of view depends on your viewing point. Because this is a pillar standing here. If I paint this place black and the other side is white, and I say, look from here. If you look from here, come on, what's happening? If you look from, amen. They said I should not say that, but I'll say it. If you hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I will say it. So if you look from here, finally, you know, the painter this place black, when you look from here, if you're standing here,
And I say, describe what you see. All you can say is, this pillar is black. If the other side is white and you look, all you say is, this pillar is white. Technically, both of you are correct. The difference is your viewing point. If you view a church from the standpoint of criticisms, you will see everything wrong. When you view a church from the standpoint of love, you will see everything wrong. So where are you viewing from? I don't get the point. People think that when they notice everything wrong with a church, it means they are mature or they see well. No, it means you have a bad heart. It means you have a critical heart. Because actually, if you are mature, instead of seeing the problem, what you will now be seeing is the solution. The solution. So when people are always critical, you know, and most times, whenever you notice that you're already becoming very critical and you always find fault, let me give you a simple answer. It means you are no more involved in the work, no matter what you are doing. Because in a football field, it takes the spectators to notice what is wrong in the field. It's only people watching, the fans, that keep saying, oh, I can't be your dad. He would have kicked it like this. It's only the fans. The players in the field are fully involved. Even when they see the fault in the field, they're thinking of a way to fix it. The fans are only talking. He said, I say, remove Ronaldo and put you. You know, and that's the point. They just said, I've told this coach, sometimes I wish they can just allow everybody to coach, even if it's 10 minutes in football matches. 10 minutes, you see your disaster. You don't know who you are. You're a very bad coach. If they put you in that place, you embarrass your ancestors. But then we don't want to put you. I'm saying this to say that fault finding depends on where you're standing from. And it now produces what we call murmuring. Let me show you some things. Maybe just two scriptures. Then we begin to wind down. Hallelujah. Numbers 12 verse 1. Because you know, half of the time, the things you are finding fault with are actually true. Because the problem is not whether they're true or not. You say, Pastor, you are talking about fault finding. Me, I know what I'm saying is true. It can be true. Look at what happened there. Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Moses was wrong. I don't even get the point. He was the one that told them that the Lord said they should not marry a Gentile. He now went ahead to marry an Ethiopian woman. So they murmured. So see what happens in the next verse. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not also spoken by us? You know, you see how fault finding and criticism works. What did Moses do wrong? Married an Ethiopian woman. What were they complaining about? Who does the Lord speak to? How did Satan connect it? What concern marrying an Ethiopian woman and the Lord speaking? Are you following me, guys? Before you know, things that no longer make sense begin to make sense. And what shocked me in this verse, the Bible said, and the Lord heard it. One of the things the Lord said to me when we were planning for LMP, and Lord, I'll take that on the last day. He said, even the murmurings in your heart, God hears them. And that changed my mindset. He said, they said, look at what happened. They said, they were talking to each other. The Lord heard it. If you read the rest of this story, it's very interesting. The Lord told them, he said to every other prophet, I speak by this. But this man, Moses, I speak to him face to face. You know what he told them? You people are not mates. That's what it means. In the local church, some people are bigger than you and they will forever be. Say amen. No matter the miracles and the wisdom you think you have, you are not Moses. Are you getting me, guys? Now, murmuring, fault finding. Another classic example is John 12 verse 5. Very classic. I've used that a lot in this church. Jesus was in a place and this woman, a prostitute, came in and broke a very expensive stuff at his feet. And then Judas got angry. See, this is a very powerful lesson I wanted to learn. Go to verse 4. Verse 4. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? The guy knew the amount that would be gotten. So if you listen to him talk, you will think that he really cares for the church. Do you get the point? You know, something I told people some recently,
you can never, I think I heard that from my spiritual father. He said, you can never have the perspective of the leader if you're not the leader. You can never have. So as far as this guy was concerned, he was thinking, well, 300 pence. And he now said, I'm giving to the poor. Now see the next verse. That's the joker. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Most times when people are murmuring, it reveals the condition of their heart. The real reason he said that was not, to him, he thought he was caring for the poor. But Jesus, the Bible says the real reason was that there was thievery.
Oh God, let me not follow.
There was thievery in his heart. So he was a thief. So you don't exist in a church to find fault. Some of you that follow my ministry, I've taught this very thing before. Many years ago. 2014 actually. 14, 15. Non-effective people find faults. Effective people see solutions. They don't find faults. They don't murmur. They don't complain. They don't complain. So to be a blessing to your local church, to be effective in your local church, you must never be in the habit of finding fault. I know some of you is going to bring a lot of sharp corrections to you, but heed to it as it's coming. Heed to them as they come. Hallelujah. Heed to them as they come. And then finally, there is an attitude I'm going to warn you against. I called it the consumer Christian attitude. I'm going to close with it. Consumer Christian attitude. There are believers that are special consumers. That's all they exist for. They just want to come to the church and receive. Nobody calls me in this church. They don't care for me in this church. They don't look out for me in this church. They don't give in this church. They just want this to be done for them. They think they are in church as consumers, while the church is there to serve them. It's a terrible spirit. So I'm going to ask you, now, should we come to church to consume things? Yes. But you must come with two different mindsets. I'm coming to gain, but I'm also coming to give. So I'm going to ask you, what are you bringing to the church? You want people to call you, but you know you don't have phone, or rather your phone doesn't make call. You can never call anybody. So what are you bringing? What are you bringing? Are you reaching out? Are you serving? Are you giving? Are you praying for the church? There must be something. Because it will take all our efforts for the local church to grow. The local church can never be strong when it's only one person doing it. It's made strong by the sacrifice of many. So the things you expect your church to do for you, you should do. And that is where responsibility begins to come in as a believer. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? And I told you guys last Sunday when I was talking about kingdom responsibilities, I told you, I have sonship responsibilities, right? Yeah? I told you, the proof that you have grown in your family is that there are now things that are expecting of you. The child in the family, the only expectation of they have of him is he should make sure he's sucking enough breast and sleeping enough. I didn't get the point. When he doesn't talk, he says, why are you not eating? And you see mom complaining. Why are they eating? You know that kind of thing. We want you to be. It's not that they're even flogging him. Eat. Forcing him. Because that's the only thing expected of him. They want him to eat. Are you getting me? But as he begins to grow, they now begin to want more things from him than eating. They now want it to be part of the cooking process. With time, they now want to be cooking the food. Now, don't get it wrong. Will he still be eating in the house? Huh? Yes. But now he has to do more than eating. So you are not coming as just a consumer. You have a part to play here. Are you getting me, friends? You have something to do. You can pray. You can reach out. That's why I told you guys that a church strength is not in their sitting capacity, it's in their sending capacity. You can pray, you can reach out, you can evangelize, you can usher, you can sing. But there are people that I see in church and I admire them. Some people get into church in the first 2 weeks in church, they've joined something. That's how, that is me, I am them. Because that's what I believe it should be. But others, they just come around, and some of you are even part of departments and teams, but you still have that consumer mindset. The leader should always be looking out for you. You know, I see people that they didn't come to church. Listen carefully. They did not come to church. They didn't tell anybody they will not come to church. And they are angry that nobody asked them why they didn't come to church. Should I say it again? Because if I say it again, you now know you see I'm talking about. They didn't come to church. They didn't tell anybody they were not coming to church. They're now angry. How come nobody even bothered to ask me? Are you a child? Now, should we ask about you? We try to do that. But what of the days we don't do it? I don't expect you to complain. Say why? Because you are mature. If there's some other people that, you know, there's some people that have been church for 2 days, 3 days, you can say, sorry for not checking up on you. We will check up on you. But you see, if you are my leader, you don't come to church, I will shout out to you. Why? What if I was sick? What if my head was broken? Why didn't you tell me? So the shouting now is not that you didn't come. The shouting is that you are irresponsible. Let me get the point. And the irresponsibility is not in your not coming. It is in your not giving information. You are more than a consumer. You are part of the process. Did you get the point? Every joint supplying, you are part of the process. You are more than just a customer. Stop seeing yourself like a customer. Church is not market. You just come to buy, and you go. And know that mindset we carry to market. Customer is always right. You're not a customer here. You are part of the process. You know the customers, those guys you are reaching out to. Once you are in here, you're no longer a customer. You are now a part of the process. You're not always right. Amen. And deal with that customer relationship mindset where you think everybody's here to serve you, to make sure you are fine, to make sure you are okay, to make sure nothing is wrong with you. What are you bringing? Sister, what can I bring? I can begin to tell you already. Prayer. You can pray. You know, I told them at Obolo last Sunday. I told them, you see, there are, in our church, there are 3 meetings I use to assess the strength of our church. The first meeting, you want to know? Thursday services. Thursday services, you know why? Because slave queens don't go to church on Thursdays. They only appear on Sunday. Sunday is where everybody wants to be in church. Thursday meetings shows me people that have gone the extra mile to show commitment. Are you getting me? Second meeting I used to assess with the strength of our church. You want to know? Prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. There is 6 hours prayer meeting. The number of people that come, that are your members, that are the ones that will do the work. All this worship, all night worship, concerts. That's where you used to know how many people were reaching for the Lord. The third meeting like that are outreach events. We're doing light up, we're going for evangelism. You see these 3 meetings, they help me know how strong our church is. So an effective believer is in all these meetings. Because Thursday meetings are meetings of sacrifice, you know, right? Because unless you are jobless, once you are going to school or you have something doing, you should know weekly meetings are difficult. It takes a lot of sacrifice to be there. But that shows how effective you are. Are you following me? Then prayer meetings, because prayer meetings are not sweet. Say prayer is fun. Well, it depends on how long. Is prayer fun? It's fun. But it depends on how long. Without doing 5 hours, 6 hours, you're not just be walking up and down. You know, when I started taking some of our leaders, you know, some of these long prayers, some of them wanted to stone me. It was me, I can be me. Just move your face and just be praying up and down. Amen. And anybody, I'm not saying anybody that can pray for 4 hours. Anybody that comes for the prayer meeting, it shows that this guy wants to be effective. I'm not saying all of them that will come will pray for that long, okay? Saturday prayer meetings, all these prayer meetings, it helps us know how strong, then outreach meetings. So if you're asking what to do, be available. Give. Pray. Reach out. I'm talking about giving. The Bible said, where a man sat is there his treasure is. We say, must we give in church? Yes, we must give in church. Just like you must give to any other organization you are part of. The committed members in a church, hear this and never forget it, must not be the biggest givers in the church. The reason is because there is nobody that says that the most committed members are the richest. The Bible said we should give as God has prospered us. Do you understand me? The biggest givers should be the richest people in the church. But the committed members of the church must be the most consistent givers in the church. Should I say it again? You see, leaders and ministers, I don't expect you to be the biggest givers in your church, except you are the richest. Your commitment is dependent on how much you have. Is that not true? If you don't have it, you don't have it. But commitment is the proof of commitment is that you are the most consistent. So that even if it is 2,000 naira or 10,000 naira or 15k you are giving every month, you are doing it consistently. I want to ask you a question. If everybody in Platform of Grace in your center is giving exactly like you, will the church have money? And if you can answer that question, you will now say, if everybody is giving exactly like you, I mean the same frequency with which you give. Say amen. I know you don't like me this evening. I thought this is a great church. If everybody in church is giving as consistent, you that give partnership once every 4 months or once every 5 months, if everybody, imagine all of us become like you. Every day you come and you're not a giver in the church, and you see the fan turning, you see the lights on, you hear the mic, it is somebody's money you're enjoying. Do you know? Like as we are talking now, you're enjoying somebody's money. It's true. Every time you come and see, hey, the speaker is now, they bought you speakers. It is somebody's money. You must bring something to the work. You must give. You must be the most consistent. And pastors too. Ministers, everyone listen. You must be the most, it's a sign that you're growing spiritually. It's a sign that you're effective. So make sure you're bringing something. Don't just come to take. You must come to give. Give financially. Give prayers. Give your availability. Give reaching out. Make sure there's something you are bringing. You are offering. Give also your talents and your abilities. The things you can do. As we talk about, you can do it. You can say, you can do it. Give your energy. Another thing to give is your energy. You know, church requires so much energy. Give your energy. Give your strength. Something must be going from you to the church. This is how we become effective. This is how we become effective. Hallelujah. And in being effective in the work, let me say this and don't forget it, and I'll close from there. You are not just helping the church grow. You are helping yourself grow. That's why I said the church provides room for spiritual growth. In doing all these things, oh, you are passionate. You are committed. You are consistent. The truth of the matter is, you are actually not doing the church a favor, as it were. It is actually you yourself that you are doing a favor. And in turn, you are now doing the church a favor. Let me say it again. If you are doing all these things, you are committed, you are consistent, you are, what else? You are passionate. You don't find faults. You are serving. You think you are doing the church a favor. No. The favor is first of all done to you. Remember I said it's a privilege to do all these things. We say, so what do I get from all these things? You are growing spiritually. And you're serving the Lord. The Lord is going to reward. It's not the church the Lord will reward. It is you. And that's why, you know, one attitude that you must never have is this attitude of indispensability. Some persons feel they are indispensable. And the devil begins to tell you that kind of thing. He's taking you through. You are on a very long ride to destruction. I say it every time, and I keep saying it. You are very relevant to us in this church. Very, very relevant. But you are not indispensable. So, that thing that tells you, feel this church, you see this church, this center. If I leave, many things will scatter. You'll be shocked that when you leave, the work will now set. You will now see that you've been the problem all the while. You know, Pastor David Young Gicho, you know him, right? He said one of the things the Lord used to humble him is that when his church grew the highest was when he was sick. He was sick for months. He couldn't come to church. He was at home, running the church from home. By the time he came back, they've tripled. He said the Lord used that to show him that this thing is not about you, even as the pastor. I didn't get the point. Even as I'm here, I'm feeling if I'm not here, things will scatter. I keep reminding, people tell me, sir, I will need you, you need me, but I keep reminding myself that this thing is beyond you. If you think it's about you, die. If you die, it will shake the church small. They will pick up and keep moving. How do we get the point? All over the world, as important as we are in the work of God, we must know that we are relevant. We should celebrate that we are relevant. We should be present because we are relevant, but we should never begin to feel that we are indispensable. If not me, this choir, for we are. Go now. Amen. Once you don't in this life that there's nothing you are doing that you are the best, they've not told you. I should tell you. That's the truth. People think there's nobody in this world that sings. If I leave this church, the great Lord will shock you. You just move 2 months later, one girl with an angelic voice. Oh, by the time you now go, your mentor will join the church. Or people you are looking up to will now join the choir. You will now see that actually God needs you. But God has 7,000 prophets that have not bowed to Baal. No, that's what happened to Elijah. He said, I'm the only one serving God. God said, don't say that. I have 7,000. He kept his. The Lord said, fine. Go, anoint Elisha, anoint Jehu, anoint Hazael. I will take you away from the scene, but the work will still be done. So we must throw in our weight in all humility and serve the Church of Jesus Christ effectively. In turn, we are doing ourselves a favor. Hallelujah. Say, I'm effective. Say it again. Say it again. And that's why I tell some of you that are online, that are following church online. Listen carefully, and I want to say it again. I notice a lot of people are not here. Many of us are not here. And I know it's because of the situation of things in the town today. And those of you that came, I appreciate you for coming. Okay? But then, some of you that are not here, I believe some of you are following online. But listen, following services online is not an end. It's a means to an end. It's never the ultimate thing. That's why some of you that are part of our online church, I keep telling you guys this all the time, that the online church is a means to an end. What it means is that that's not the ultimate plan. Our plan is that as you are following these services online and you are identifying with Platform of Grace as your church and as your family, that over time, you become instrumental in bringing a physical church to your location. Because there are many things that you will gain by doing that. One is the fellowship and the warmth of brethren. Our guys in Lagos now, they've been able to bring themselves together and the physical church have started there. I didn't get the point. That's the ultimate aim. And so if you are in town and you have a habit of following service online, something is wrong with you. It's just like you are close to water and you're not drinking. I didn't get the point. You are close to water and you're not drinking. Why will you just take a cup or take a sip, whereas you can dive into the river? Are you following me? Always be available.
Let's serve Jesus together. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet all over this place. We are going to join our hands together and we're going to do a song together. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. Glory to God. I believe that this meeting is supposed to produce some awakening in our hearts towards what God have us do. God wants us effective. God wants us strong. He wants us solid in our service of Him, even in the local church. The best way to serve God is to serve Him in His church and from His church. Let me say it again. The best way to serve Him, serve Him in His church and from His church. What do I mean by that? Serving Him in His church will entail doing stuffs in the church. And serving Him from His church would entail, you see, reaching out all the same, but being sent from the church. Are you following me, guys? That's the best way to serve Jesus. At the end of the day, Jesus died to establish a church. And we are part of that church. And we commit to what He's doing. And we'll serve Him. And we are solid in our work with Him. Hallelujah. Let's take that song together. It's a great thing to serve Jesus.
It is a great thing.
Come on, come on, come on.
To serve Jesus.
Last time, do it again.
It is a great thing. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a
Hallelujah. It's a privilege to serve Him. Don't you think so? It's a privilege to serve Him. It's a privilege to serve Him. They beat the apostles and they were thanking God for the privilege to be beaten. Wow. Sometimes thank God for the privilege to wash toilets in the church. It's such an honor. It's such an honor. No matter how degrading a job is, when you do it for a great man, it becomes a great job. That's the truth. No matter how degrading driving is, when they say drive President Barack Obama, hey, if I even carry the ID card, I drive Obama. It now becomes a big thing. I get to the point. No matter how tough being a bodyguard is, how degrading it is. Is that now the bodyguard to Cristiano Ronaldo? Ha! Where you just carry yourself. He said, I'm Ronaldo's guard, though. That's how it is. Whatever we do for the Lord in His church is a privilege. And we thank Him for the privilege to do it for Him. Hallelujah. So I love serving Jesus. So I love serving Jesus. I love working for Him in His house, serving Him, being effective, and producing results. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this evening?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.